Welcome, friends, to the God Friended Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everybody. The God Friended Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 214, Raspberry Pi, comes your way now.
Pete, this is an episode written by Logan Sclater, directed by Joe Morton. That's right, everyone's favorite paternal influence in the family. And Pete, this is an episode with a 0.6 rating and 6.96 million viewers. That is up from last week's all-time low, so definitely growing in the right direction.
Definitely good news. Want to continue to let people know about this show. Live tweet it, Facebook it, let them know you are watching.
And Pete, as said last week, we do have the show on for confirmed to be about this month block. Somewhat interestingly, the schedule appears not to have advanced past March 8th, which will be episode 216. Won't tell you the title, Pete, because I want to be as spoiler-free as possible. But that's not to say that there's no spots or that it's being taken off the schedule. Just a little curious that as of recording, the forward-looking schedule has yet to be advanced past that point.
And we had reached out and still not heard back as to what their season order might have been. So it could be in flux. Don't know. We will keep an eye on it and update you each week. With that, what do you say we take a stroll through our eightfold path to enlightenment about this episode? Rakesh and Miles and Kara meet up, and Rakesh has the latest lead on the truth about the God account. It's Zizin, but he's neither 25 nor renting the apartment. Who is the mystery hacker? Let's try and track his online poker persona. Maybe the account will help. Ding, someone's been suggested, and it's Miles Finer. Over to Allie's bar. She's feeling fine, thanks for asking. She's also so happy that Miles is posting to Facebook about saving the whales. And Rakesh intuits that it's a scam via a cloned account. Can you believe Facebook doesn't have true people all the time? The scammer has a connection to the Department of Defense, and Rakesh sits a meet for 30 minutes or else.
At the meet, Zach Waller arrives saying he cloned Miles because he could. He's 16 and interning at the DOD, and he might take down the account, but there's no way he's being caught, nor is he giving the Save the Whales money back. Good talk. Over at Catapult, knock, knock. What? It's Adam, you know, the hunk that used to work there to visit and share his knowledge about the exclusive poker website. He'll be in touch. At Miles' apartment, the hacking Zach is doing is intense. He's collected about $10,000 with this scam. Adam might be able to hook them up with his source after all.
At Allie's doctor appointment, she's in the waiting room with a new friend, Emily Landry, who's chatty and looking to freeze her eggs. Maybe they'll talk again. Out for a walk is Kara and Miles, knocking on Mr. Waller's door, telling Dad about Zach's theft. Dad's shocked and is going to make sure the money gets returned. Zach's motivation? His mother, a soldier, died in the field and was denied the Gold Star honor due to allegedly going AWOL. There might be a cover-up, though.
Rakesh is on the phone. Zach's already spent the money on an expensive portable computer, a Raspberry Pi, PI. Will he use it to hack the DOD? Miles and Kara scoot there and get a text from Rakesh to go elsewhere. It's part of the scam! Zach admits to the little game, but he's prepared to dig deeper. Miles wants to help Zach get on the path of righteousness. At Allie's bar, she gives an update to her father. Treatment will start soon. And Emily arrives. She's there to try the best Manhattan in Manhattan. Allie says now is not the right time.
Miles and Kara go see Lieutenant Fremont. Can he help with the Waller situation? Yes, he'll be in touch. At Catapult, Adam's in touch, in person, to see Kara. who wants to get dinner? Not Kara, for now, anyway. At Identity Seal, Rakesh finds out Miles didn't get the Raspberry Pi after all, just an external hard drive. They use it to find out that Zach's hacking plan is happening right now.
Rakesh is trying to hack the hacker while Miles hoofs it to the cafe that Zach is at. Dad and Kara are there too, and Dad pulls the plug. Lucky thing, Lieutenant Fremont's contact will be in touch tomorrow. At Allie's bar, the Reverend Finer stops by, and Allie fesses up that Emily was interested in being more than friends. He advises that just because Allie's life is changing, it needn't stop. At the Army recruiting station, Private Martinez is ready to talk about the late Sergeant Wheeler. It turns out Meg Wheeler indeed was absent without leave, her death a mystery, in Dabala, Afghanistan.
Zach is stunned. Then the DOD arrives to arrest him. He's questioned for 2 hours with no word to Mr. Wheeler, Kara, or Miles, then released. There's no evidence of him hacking the system due to Rakesh, Miles says, within earshot of a worker. Nonetheless, the only consequence for Zach is a revoked admission to West Point. But it's over. At the doctor's office, Allie runs into Emily. Allie admits to not being honest and shares news about her diagnosis. How about dinner tomorrow at 7?
At Identity Seal, the money is being returned, and Kara and Miles are about to go to the poker game. But why is there a profile for Raina from Dabala, Afghanistan? Miles and Rakesh find Raina and bring her to meet the Wallers, telling the story of the sympathetic officer who helped Raina and her husband get out of the country. Mom is a hero after all. Hopefully Kara will be in touch soon, and Miles isn't worried where things are headed. They aren't able to get into the game, though, for lack of a key. Kara spies a playing card. It's the key card. They have the clue to the next step to end the episode.
And now it's time to step into the confessional.
Pete, let's reflect on how season one's overall story was whether God was in the machine, so to speak. Yet in season two, the question is, who's the man behind the account? Your thoughts?
It's been an interesting way to go about the season. I mean, essentially, the mystery remains the same. Who is behind the account? Yes, we've gotten some bleeps and some bloops and met a bunch of people along the way. Yet still, we are trying to get at after 34 episodes at this point, who is ultimately pushing the button and sending these friend suggestions?
I don't mean to repeat myself from past podcasts, maybe not super recent ones, but ones in the past. I do wonder this tension of, can we, the people in the show, can we find out who's behind this? That tension against the notion of a higher power, whether it's electronic or spiritual, or even a well-meaning smart person whose technological power is superior to ours. I wonder how long that tension can be something that the show continues to thrive on as a backbone with which to be serial. And of course, we have our weekly episodes and all of that, our weekly adventures. Let me put it this way, Pete. When it's Godfriended Me season 10 and they're still searching for who's actually behind the account, I think it will have gotten threadbare at that point.
Well, let's hope they get to a 10th season, Matt. Not going to be Debbie Downer here, but I would say the chances of that are relatively slim. However, what I particularly appreciate in this episode, bringing in the real world notion of accounts being cloned, being scammed, and then being used for no good, and a way to continue not to run in place, but to stretch out the story. That is something that goes on and dealt with here amidst the backdrop of Zach, his poor choices, albeit, you know, rationalized by himself for good reason with what happened to his mother, what he suspects happened. And I found it timely. I found it entertaining. And, you know, the patented God Friended Me uplift, for my money, this was the best one yet. And I tweeted that at the God Friended Me writers and at the God Friended Me account. And what do you know? They retweeted that. So must have resonated with them as well.
I do find it interesting that this episode of this show, you know, which is to say this is a show by and large built to offend next to no one. I think if you're getting offended by, you know, same-sex relationships or a trans pastor, or, you know, things like that, then sorry, this just isn't fundamentally a show for you. But outside the vast minority there, it's a show meant to offend few. Nonetheless, you have in this episode, in, let's say, the mid-ground, the notion of, you know, false Facebook identities and are you dealing with real people or are you being scammed? And you also have the notion that Zach has to confront that his version of the grand conspiracy out there to hobble his perspective in the world actually is not correct, and he has to deal with real facts and indeed has trouble assimilating those facts into his view of how things should be.
Indeed, isn't that the issue we have currently with our, what I call, post-truth society? People confronted with facts. I mean, I'm in no way attempting to make light of the situation, but you had a daredevil who espoused a belief in a flat earth die over the weekend when his steam-powered rocket malfunctioned and he plummeted to his death. I'm sorry you want to believe that the earth is flat. If you've ever taken a ride in an airplane or been in a tall enough building, you can see the curvature of the earth. So even when confronted with immutable facts, there are people that still will not believe it.
Indeed, one's desire to believe does not change the truth of the truth, if you will.
No. And here we get a name, and I don't even know if we can necessarily believe the name of the mystery man who appeared in that apartment a couple episodes back, Zin. And that at the end of the episode, we have the Red Queen of Hearts used to like a key card to get into the poker game, makes it another, you know, step on the path here to getting closer to who's behind the account.
It does. And I rather like this idea that the nanny nanny poo poo playing card now is revealed to be, and one can only imagine, you know, that it was done by the design of the writers, but now revealed to be not a thumbing of the nose, but rather that invitation in. It's a really, really nice twist, particularly for a show that, you know, as I said before, there is that tension between mystery and payoff, mystery and payoff. And to kind of turn what you thought you knew in what has been a background story for this portion of the season, to kind of turn that perspective a bit, I thought that was really, really satisfying. Can an RFID chip... Pete, I have some mild concerns about, like, are RFID chips that big? And can they be seen so easily through, apparently, cardboard? And can you do things like that? But that's all much, much lower on the list versus, like, hey, you have a clue to the next step and you didn't know it was a clue. That's a great twist.
They can put them in, like, ID cards. So I can imagine the same size as a playing card. You could do that. Makes sense. Believable enough. And, you know, this is another door for them to attempt to get behind and figure out what's going on. With that in mind, I have to wonder, so, you know, the preview for this week's episode, Miles is going to get himself as a friend suggestion. Oh my goodness, what confusion. And obviously the context matters and everything there. I have a sneaking suspicion that eventually we're going to get Rakesh as a friend suggestion, because yet another thing he's done here to cover up activity linked to the account. I've got to wonder, the DOD or Homeland Security or the FBI or the CIA or all of them are going to knock at the door of his apartment or Identity Seal or whatever one day. And Miles and Kara are either going to have to get him out of the fire or going to be brought into it with him, given some of the ethical choices they've made, particularly him, in terms of covering up things, erasing them as it pertains to the God account.
It is conspicuous in my mind how Rakesh is the magic button pusher who moves the story from A to C, because B was super easy because he typed and had a furrowed brow. All love to the show. The notion that it's going to run 10 seasons, the notion that most shows would run 10 seasons is extreme. But to imagine this extreme version where, you know, it's past episode 225 and it's in the 10th season and that sort of thing. The notion that 10 seasons, or, you know, the notion that 8 seasons from now, Rakesh is still like, wait, you want me to do this and do that? I mean, this episode, Pete had a little fun with that, where Miles is like, all right, let me give you the utility belt rundown. And Rakesh is like, nope, already did it. It's all in your phone. I sent it, you know, whatever it is. It does make me hope that if the show is going to use him as a story crutch, that we are building towards some sort of thing of, oh, it was not a crutch. He's a guy with a high school diploma who's extremely talented and who's gotten noticed at a really smart company and who's moved up the ladder deservedly. But there's a certain point where all of that ends, and where the more talented person, the more talented group, whatever it might be, are going to take notice.
Let's talk our B and maybe B plus stories. What with Allie in this episode now going down the path, freezing her eggs, meeting Emily, who probably going to be a love interest.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we had lamented, certainly in the first season and even in the beginning of the second season, how Allie was frequently the person who would say, hey, Miles, give me an update after the commercial break. Oh, look, here's Dad to talk to you about important story thing. Oh, I got to go over there, you know. And they're really, really giving Allie, as a character, such great stuff. Obviously, not making light of the cancer in the real world, but she's a fictional character who's been given dramatic stuff to deal with. And then now to have that contrasted with finding love again and that sort of thing, it feels so perfect for her as a character who got sidelined too much, that now she's getting extra helpings of interesting story stuff that I think that we can really get behind too. You know, there are some episodes where Kara is the information magic person. I mean, Rakesh does computer magic and Kara does, hey, I talked to a person who this and that the other. And all the characters have gone through that. But to give Allie this great emotional stuff, those are things that we can really relate to.
Well, speaking of Kara there, Matt, that other B-ish story sprung out of the main plot is Adam, you know, the one who left for Vice, showing back up as if he'd just be able to walk around Catapult, you know, competing publication and all, and now circling back to Kara, trying to date her.
Pete, I'm so glad that I listened to our God Friend and Me podcast, in which we were concerned that he was up to just that. I know we were surprised when he disappeared. I now, not knowing if maybe the actor indeed did have a prior commitment, it was like, all right, I can do these two episodes and I'm away for 3 weeks and I can come back, and maybe they turned a negative into a positive, or maybe they just said, we're gonna plant these breadcrumbs just when people say, oh, I know what's gonna happen next week, then he's gonna be gone for a stretch because we want to keep all the story pieces moving. Maybe we slide in some, you know, some of the Allie story real estate, the Reverend Finer wedding real estate, things like that, just in terms of an overall season. But I'm glad we called it. Pete, Adam is such an impressive character. I can't wait for him just to walk into our office and be like, oh man, it's so hot in here, I better take off my shirt. Because Pete, I think that's where he wants to be headed.
What are people saying on the horn?
To Twitter we go, and let's hear first Pete from Peter, that's at TweetScala, who says of the episode, showed how sometimes we have to face the truth, even though we don't believe it at first. We also heard from Andre Yeager. That's at Dr. Polo 1984. Watching this show is like going to church. So inspiring and uplifting. Hashtag God friended me.
I could not agree more with all of that.
Well, Pete, so glad to hear from people like Peter and Andre each week. So glad to have the support of those who go to patreon.com/fantasticgeek to help keep the SS Fantastic Geek floating along down the East River there.
Everybody who contributes gets access to exclusive podcast content, all sorts of levels past there, but only takes $1 a month to get you in that door, a measly quarter a week to contribute. Can't just this month get yourself over to Apple Podcasts where you can leave us a rating. Takes seconds, or review takes a little longer, but helps us just as much. And we could really, really use it on the God Friended Me feed. Been a little while since we've gotten some ratings there. I know we're better than 10 ratings. I know you think we're better than a 10 rating of 5 across the board.
So, Pete, with the 5 or 6 episodes left, we think, to this season, if indeed it is a 20-episode season, let's keep that God Friended Me conversation going. How can people be in touch with you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, PieterJKetelaar, KetelaaR, 11,196 followers, can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek with the PH, all one word, like it today.
Well, Pete, for those listening on the Pop Culture Podcast feed, we will be back on Saturday to talk episode 106 of Picard. If you're just here for God Friended Me, we will be back next Monday to talk the latest episode of that series. With that, Pete, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
God gives his hardest battles to his strongest soldiers.